Okta's 11 herbs and spices are in the wild. Wally! And you shall not pass. Maybe. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the December 30th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. Good. This is the last episode before next year. Like next year.
I'm glad our MSPs are sharing with us their last opportunity to get MSP news, and they're doing it with us. They're closing 2022 with us, and I think that's amazing. You know what else is amazing, Tony?
Talk to me.
Do you have a robot vacuum, like a Roomba? Yeah, I do too. Does yours have a name?
Megatron.
So this one, we got a Roborock, which I love. Awesome brand. So his name is Dwayne. Because I didn't name him.
That's awesome.
The previous one we had was named Jarvis, which was a Roomba, which was also excellent, but it didn't have pet feces avoidance technology. And it's as bad as you can imagine it is. But speaking of Roomba, our banter topic is a robot vacuum took a picture of a woman on the toilet. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was shared on Facebook. apparently there was a development version of iRobot, the J7 series back in 2020. And, this robot that had the dev version took a photo of a woman on a toilet and a young child. That data was sent over to Scale AI, who was a third party company doing tagging and identifying the photos and stuff like that. Apparently their IT workers that were in Venezuela couldn't help themselves, and they shared the photos to private Facebook and Discord groups.
What? Okay. So just to be clear, I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. The photos get sent automatically by your Roomba outside of your...
Well, this was a dev version, right? So the Roomba and most of these things will map your area, create a schematic of your area, so it knows where to avoid, knows what the room looks like, how to clean, how to cover, stuff like that. I'm not aware of any, and I could be completely wrong, none of mine take actual photos. They use LiDAR, they use radar, they do some kind of sonar technology. Apparently, this one was taking photographs.
No, so Roomba actually uses photo recognition and the processing, as opposed to I have the Neato, for example, and that uses LiDAR. And the reason I went with LiDAR is very specific to not have video taken. And I am fascinated that actually got out. I am fascinated. I talk about how neurotic I am with multiple VLANs and multiple points of authentication, and hey, we don't have, you know, the dots or the Apple devices and the Amazon. None of that's allowed in here. You know, all the cameras have, you know, tape over them, and like, I am paranoid. I'm not sleeping anymore. Like, that's it. I'm just going to be looking
at cleaning up. Cleaning your dirty floors to airing your dirty laundry on Facebook. And that's just not cool with me. You know what is cool, though? The news. What do you say we get into it, man?
Let's get into the news, man. Jumping straight into our first story from bleepingcomputer.com. Okta, their code's been stolen, but the customer data is not impacted. Bleeping Computer has obtained confidential security incident notifications that Okta has been emailing to its security contacts as of a few hours ago. We have confirmed that multiple sources, including IT admins, have been receiving this email notification from David Bradbury, the company's chief security officer. Quote, upon investigation, we have concluded that access was used to copy Okta code repositories. Despite stealing Okta source code, attackers did not gain unauthorized access to the Okta service or customer data, says the company. Okta's HIPAA, FedRAMP, or DoD customers remain unaffected as the company does not rely on the confidentiality of its source code as a means to secure its services. As such, no customer action is needed. It's been a difficult year for Okta with its series of security incidents and bumpy disclosures. In December 2022, Okta-owned Auth0 disclosed a similar style incident. According to the authentication service provider, older Auth0 source code repositories were obtained by a third-party individual. March this year, data extortion group Labsys claimed it had access to Okta's administrative consoles and the customer data as it began posting screenshots of stolen data on Telegram. We covered that here on the MSP Dispatch. After stating it was investigating these claims, Okta shortly acknowledged that the hack being referred to had in fact occurred in late January 2022. That same week, Okta had admitted that it had, quote, made a mistake in delaying the disclosure of the hack that, the firm said, had originated at its third-party contractor, Sitel. Sykes. Ray, there's a lot happening here, and all we hear is attacks from everywhere. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. Talk to me.
You ever see like Friday the 13th, right? There are 13 Friday the 13ths. It should have stopped at 4, but there are 13 Friday the 13ths. And while I absolutely love Jason X, aka Jason in Space, and Jason versus Freddy was a work of art, I would love to see a new movie. And it's the same with these security stories, these supply chain attacks, these exchange vulnerabilities, these lack of MFA to get into stuff, the social engineering, the last pass stuff we covered. I'd very much like to stop hearing these stories. I mean, you know, this kills me. It's like we didn't learn from the SolarWinds supply chain stuff, right? Now, to be fair, the theft of source code should not create a vulnerability in the actual protected data, right? The fact that you know how the software works doesn't mean you know that you can decrypt the data, because it should be irreversible cryptography, hopefully, right? Something like an elliptic curve crypto or whatever. But with that said, if you understand the software, you understand maybe how it works, and you understand maybe some other vulnerabilities before the data is encrypted, right? This goes back to the Twitch source code that was broken, that was stolen last year, I believe, or earlier this year, where it wasn't so much that you were stealing client data. It was that you were learning all the little gotchas and secrets and stuff on how Twitch works to leverage it to your advantage. And that's usually how these things happen. No different than a blue screen is usually a precursor. Crashing the system is usually a precursor to figuring out how to actually get access to the system. Whether it's a buffer overrun, or you're not doing proper garbage collection, or whatever you're doing in code. So it's, I hate seeing these stories. I have nothing to add here. It just sucks that it keeps happening. Tony, do you have any wise words of wisdom?
Wise words. The Friday the 13th was the best wisdom right there. I'm kind of done. And number four, we're done. We're done after that. I do really want to calcify your point of, just because, you know, you understand, maybe you have access to the data, it's encrypted, and, data residency does not explicitly mean that you can exploit it or read it. However, understanding how the joints are sealed together, where those joints are and where the potential weaknesses are, the method mechanism of authentication, to where maybe you can go upstream to find a vulnerability there that goes downstream into the very use of it. That's where the concern is. And I think you nailed it with Friday the 13th, episode number 100. Let's jump into the next story. What do you got for me, Ray?
Speaking speaking of stuff that keeps coming back, but maybe in a good way, OpenAI releases Point E, which is like DALL-E, but for 3D modeling, written by Andrew Tarantola on Engadget. OpenAI, founded by Elon Musk and behind the DALL-E text-to-image generator, announced the release of its newest machine, Point E. This produces 3D point clouds directly from text prompts. Compared to Google's DreamFusion, which can take hours and several GPUs, Point E only needs one GPU and a minute or two. Text-to-3D is an offshoot of the text-to-image research that leverages a large dataset of text and image pairs. This allows it to follow complex prompts. Text-to-3D uses a smaller dataset of image and 3D pairs. If you were to import a text prompt, say a cat eating a burrito, Point E will first generate a synthetic view of 3D rendering of said burrito eating cat. It will then run that generated image through a series of diffusion models to create the 3D RGB point cloud of the initial image, first producing a 1024 point cloud model and then a finer 4096 point model. In a quote from the researchers, they said, "In practice, we assume the image contains the relevant information from the text and do not explicitly condition the point clouds on the text," the research team pointed out. Tony, ChatGPT can write your stories for you. DALL-E can create images for you. We talked about software startups using Midjourney to create the graphics for their website and marketing materials. And now maybe 3D printing's a little easier. I have 3D printers. How cool is this?
That's exactly it. You can now just say something and then it pulls up the 3D image and then you can print it. And if you don't have the printer, Bray will reach back and pull out the printer and be like, "Hey, I got that one too." So I want to point out that you said something that was profound. Did you say that Elon Musk founded OpenAI?
I didn't know that. I had to double check it. It does feel like we talk about Elon every frickin' minute.
What? Hold on. Just so everyone, for the edification of everyone out here, you're witnessing a couple of individuals here that, well, listen, we're not really shocked by it. We're so anesthetized to all the things that are happening.
Yeah.
We talk about ChatGPT, which is revolutionary. It's threatening Google. We just talked about it on last week's episode, where Google has a red alert, code red, because ChatGPT can replace them. It's the evolution of information occurring right now, and they know this is a threat. That ChatGPT is provided by a company called OpenAI. OpenAI was founded by Ray. Who's OpenAI founded by?
I believe it's founded by the Jason Voorhees of the Tech Channel, Mr. Elon Musk. He keeps coming back, right? If we're going to talk Starlink, we're going to talk Twitter, we're going to talk the solar panels, we're going to talk or the Tesla batteries, we're going to talk boring. The Tesla cars. I mean,
the tunneling company, the boring company.
Ready? I don't know what is.
How many Elons are there? He already invented. There's no way you can just find one of them.
You know what drives me nuts? Crazy Elon from Twitter, right, is the same guy responsible for Starlink covering all seven continents. The same guy responsible. Now, he didn't do the work himself, but he enabled it to be created. Same guy now founded OpenAI, which, let's be honest, probably means he put a ton of money together to find some incredibly brilliant people, give them a ridiculous amount of resources, and then said, "Do cool." Sorry, Phil, dolphins. So, I mean, but hey, I'm all about it. I love it. It seems that Elon may be a little bit manic depressive when it comes to whatever he's doing, right? Crazy Twitter versus life-changing ChatGPT.
Some people go through a midlife crisis and they buy a sports car. Him, he's like, you know what?
He changes the world.
I need to change the world one more time.
One more time. Speaking of one more time, let's get to one more story. What do you think?
Jumping straight into my story from thehackernews.com, Microsoft details gatekeeper bypass vulnerability in Apple Mac OS systems. Microsoft has disclosed the details of a now patched security flaw in Apple Mac OS that could be exploited by an attacker to get around security protections imposed to prevent the execution of malicious applications. the shortcoming dubbed Achilles CVE-2022-42821 and CVSS score 5.5 was addressed by the iPhone maker in Mac OS Ventura 13, Monterey 12.6.2, and Big Sur 11.7.2, describing it as a logic issue that could be weaponized by an app to circumvent gatekeeper checks. Gatekeeper is a security mechanism designed to ensure that only trusted apps run on the operating system. This is enforced by means of an extended attribute that is assigned to the files downloaded from the internet. When an unsuspecting user downloads a potentially harmful app that impersonates a piece of legitimate software, the gatekeeper feature prevents this app from being run as it's not validly signed and notarized by Apple. The hacking method also circumvents Apple's new introduced lockdown mode in Mac OS Ventura, an opt-in restrictive setting to counter zero-click exploits, necessitating that users apply the latest updates to mitigate the threats. Ray, Mac OS, iPhones, I'm a huge fan of Mac. I love that Macs are becoming more of an SMB slash enterprise play on a day to day. Ah, look at you. And I've got a stack of Macs right here. Look at this stack. You then are worried about ways to secure them and to manage them. Adagy does an amazing job at managing the Mac, OS and the Mac devices out there, and it's not really addressed that well in the Windows world, but that's the larger world out there. But huge plug to Adagy for that. This is one of those scenarios that completely circumvents all of the above because it's coming in straight from Apple and it's bypassing their gatekeeper feature. And of all people, Microsoft says, Hey, you might want to fix this, which was huge tip of the hat to Microsoft for addressing that to Apple, yeah. The one company. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's hilarious given that last episode we just covered Microsoft signed drivers being the method for getting into, you know, for,
you stole my thunder. Oh my gosh. You
know, second set of eyes, third set of eyes. Awesome. All for it. Truth of the matter is these things are going to happen. The fact that, you know, these companies are working together is the bigger takeaway here. It reminds me of the MSP community, right? Whether you have, you know, multiple MSPs possibly in competing markets or similar markets, you know, the information sharing that happens in all the MSP communities raises the tide, to steal from MSP Geek, and JFK's speechwriter before that. But it raises the tide of the community and our abilities. So I like to see that stuff happening. Now, the fact that Microsoft pointed out, hey, Apple, this is going on and being used for bypass, cool. I just wonder, how do you hedge against this, right? Like our job is as technologists, right? The MSP's job, TSP's job is to protect the client, is to put enough things in place to protect things. Apple devices are generally, like Chrome OS devices, are generally known as being inherently a bit more secure, not because the software is more secure, but because it's a smaller market, right? It's a smaller slice of the market that attackers aren't really going after. They're going after the low-hanging fruit, which is Windows. You know, but Apple's known for locking this stuff down, and yet stuff like this happens. What would be the takeaway if you were trying to protect your client's network that was maybe Apple device-based?
Oh, first off, you should have a good Apple management system in place, hashtag Adagy. And then there are other tools out there. I just want to point out that there are other tools out there. There's a lot of great tools out there, but that happens to be one that is very respectful. I know individuals from there, and occasionally they share stories because they actually understand the relevance of the MSP Dispatch podcast, and they're very involved in the community. Get the tools necessary to manage these devices, and it doesn't matter what your play is. If it's a Windows shop, fine. Use Lighthouse. Use the variety of tools that are available there. If you have Apple devices, which you do, you should have the tools in play to manage them correctly. And in addition to all of that, stay up to date on the issues that may be outside of the swim lanes of all the tools that you use. And this happens to be one of them. But the common theme is stay up to date. Update, update, update your stuff. That's the common theme. And another common theme is using the mute button. When you use the mute button, it actually unmutes you sometimes.
It was a bypass of my my audio system.
Is that what it was? We've been hacked. We've been hacked again.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to be abreast of this information, you should watch MSP Dispatch, where we give you this information as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
Sometimes muted.
Yeah, sometimes muted. Speaking of quickly as possible. Let's quickly jump into the next story.
And my top notable mention is an update on our previous Fortnite story. I'll let Phil hit that card. Written by Brett Molina for USA Today. An update on the Fortnite FTC settlement that occurred Monday. The settlement claim resulted in a $520 million fine to Epic Games. The FTC settled Epic Games on Monday for their misuse of private data and deceptive practices. Parents who made an unauthorized credit card purchase in Epic Games store between January 2017 and November 2018, or players that were charged V-Bucks, which is Fortnite's in-game currency, between January 2017 and September 22, can get a refund. The refunds also apply to players whose accounts were locked between January 2017 and September 2022. No instructions to obtain the refunds are currently available. The FTC will post updates on their website and email customers who paid for in-game purchases once the program is launched.
And in my notable mention from MacRumors.com, Apple has released two firmware updates for its AirTag item tracker since November. But at the time, the company didn't provide any information on what actually changed. Earlier this week, Apple finally updated a support document explaining what's new. According to Apple, firmware update 2.0.24 allows the AirTag owner to use precision finding to help locate an unknown AirTag with their phone. Also introduced in 2.024, if a user's iPhone is awake, a new notification alerts them to when an AirTag has been separated from its owner and is nearby, emitting a sound to indicate that it has been moved. It can then be tracked down by a sound or precision finding if the feature is available. Apple says that this change will also help if the AirTag sound is hard to hear or if the speaker has been tampered with. It's important to note that it's not possible to force an AirTag update. It is something that's done over the air through a connected iPhone. To make sure that the update happens, you can put your AirTag in the range of your iPhone, but you have to wait for the firmware to roll out to your device. Jumping into our community events, on January 3rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, episode number 80 of the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. On January 4th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On January 5th through the 7th, an in-person event, CES Las Vegas, Nevada. And finally on the 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by the MSP Media Network.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by CyberDrain's Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
So, how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Bankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, if I had champagne, I would toast you. If I had a sparkly ball, I would drop it. This is the last episode of the year. It's been an amazing 79 episodes with you, sir. I appreciate you. And I appreciate the MSP audience that has stayed with us this entire time. And the new people that have grown and have joined our Discord. Amazing.
You know what also happened? And for the MSP audience that has contacted me directly and expressed this to me, I appreciate it. I was always clean shaven. I have literally evolved to grow facial hair since being on the show with you. It is 100% attributed to you. So I just want to let you know that the merging is happening. The merging is taking place.
We are becoming the same person.
Yes.
One day my eyebrows will be on fleek too. But with that, seriously, happy New Year's to our MSP audience. We appreciate you. We appreciate every ridiculous comment and every update and feedback you've given us all this year. And we look forward to an amazing 2023. And for the last time in 2022, take care of yourselves and each other.
See you next year, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Okta's 11 herbs and spices. Sorry, that was my phone.
That was funny. Wait, are you prepared? No, we need to. The gods must smash this preparedness thing you say. Despite stealing Okta's source code, attackers did not gain unauthorized access. Words are difficult today. Hold on. I'm pulling some blooper reel for you. Here we go. Ready? Older Auth0 customers source code repository. After stealing that, it was investigated. Sorry, Phil. After stating that it was investigating these claims, Okta shortly acknowledged that the hack had been referred to. In fact, Phil, here I kneel to your amazing blooper reels. That same week, Okta admitted that it had me. What?
What is my next story? That's a good question. In practice, we assume the image contains the relevant information from the text and do not explicitly.
Let's do it. Coming out of the gate with something that we don't hear about often as we should, Apple products. Specifically, Microsoft has been detailing that Gatekeeper has bypassed.
Wait, that's my story.
Wait, what?
I led you into my story. That's awesome. No. Yeah, you got Gatekeeper. You're right.
I'm reading my story. No, that's my story.
No, you're good. You're good.
It can be tracked down by... there's a cough hack.
And I actually don't know the rest of this paragraph without reading it. All right. And if you, I've only done this 79 times. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own How do I screw up on my closing monologue?
It's the last episode of the year. We just need the bloopers.
It's so, like my brain knows. Yeah,
feed Phil, feed him.
All right. Did you know we also have a Discord where we can post?